This recording, Mississippi 9, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison's millionaire lawyer thought it was a fair price for a cure. My young son, Frank's younger brother, was in college in Memphis, and he was bringing home a lot of friends for a blues festival here, and they were sleeping all over the house, and I was feeding them, and so I thought, well, I was in Memphis at Kroger at the delicatessen, and I'd just, buy a lot of cold cuts so I would have. And so I asked the lady at the delicatessen, after she gave me, the things I needed, I said, "Can you tell me where the beer is?" And she said, "Ma'am?" I said, "Can you tell me where the beer is?" And she said, "I don't understand you, ma'am." And I said, "The beer, B-E-E-R, beer." I wonder why she didn't understand me. So when I told my daughter this story, my little granddaughter was about this tall, and she said, every time we get in polite society, she'd say, "Mama, tell them about Mama Jane and the beer." Does beer sound normal to you? My friend Louise's uncle, Brick Gocha, and he was sheriff here and died by being shot when he went to something he was going to. But anyway, when he was growing up, he was kind of a bully. I guess that's where he got the name Brick, because he was tough. And it was all in this neighborhood, where the Episcopal Church was, and the rectory was next door, and all these people lived in this area. And they were growing up, and they would bully poor little Tom, Tennessee Williams, because he was kind of sissy-ish. So they bully him. So when he wrote Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, he made Brick, who was impotent in the thing, named him Brick.